Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher, I'm Bob Davis, and this is Basic Gospel. We welcome you to the program, everybody. Basic Gospel, of course, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and as a result, live the good news of Jesus Christ. We are live, on the air, and online right now, and we'll be glad to address your question or offer direction for the difficult, frustrating issues of real life. Call now, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, if you'd like to jot it down, 844-322-2742. It's Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thanks, Bob. Can you believe we're winding 2014 down?
I can, yes.
Oh, my goodness. Close. This year has just flown by, and it's hard to believe that Thursday, 2015 starts.
That's right.
And I know as many people think about the new year, they're making resolutions, they're reflecting on this past year, all the wonderful things that have taken place, maybe some of the negative things that have taken place,
and
trying to figure out how to make the next year better. And, you know, as I think about new, I always come back to Jesus, because no matter what we do, what's going to happen to us, Jesus is already in our new year.
Absolutely.
Jesus is going to usher us into this new year, and with him, there's always hope. Mm-hmm. And well, who is this Jesus? Well, I love how Paul described him in the book of Colossians. This is one of those signature passages about Jesus Christ himself. Starts in verse 15 of chapter 1. He is the image of the invisible God. If you want to know what God's like, you just look at Jesus Christ. He is God in human flesh. So everything that we really can know about God has been revealed to us in Jesus. Uh-huh. And this isn't just an image that's reflected. I mean, he's the very essence, the very nature of God. It says he's the firstborn over all creation. We get a little tied up over that word, little confused over the word firstborn.
Right.
So did God have a baby? We kind of think of it in those terms. There are some cults out there, some heretical teaching that would say that, you know, that he is not God. He was born. And therefore he wasn't pre-existent with God the Father, those sort of things. But this word just simply means that he has priority over all creation. He's the preeminent one. And that comes from the Old Testament, Psalm 89:27. It says there that he is the firstborn, the most exalted over all creation. Uh-huh. So it talks about his preeminent place over creation. Then it says, for by him all things were created, things in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or powers, rulers or authorities, all things were created by him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. I think that is one of the most amazing passages in the Word of God.
Yeah.
And it really relates to you right where you are at this very moment in time. Maybe you feel like your world is just helter-skelter, just falling apart. Yet here Christ says he is holding all things together. That means your life, everything about your life, he is holding it together. And with that truth, you can face whatever circumstance you're in with confidence, with hope, with a sense of expectation that Jesus Christ is going to speak into that circumstance and move you along a path that is going to lead you to the other end of it in good shape. Trust him. Count on him. And as you go into this new year, Jesus Christ is going to be the one that prepares the path for you. He created all things for him, by him, through him. He holds it together. You can trust on him, trust in him. You can count on him. That's good news.
I'm glad that he is the one making the plan, not us.
Yes, indeed.
Well, this is Basic Gospel, everybody. Again, Bob Christopher. My name is Bob Davis. Thank you for joining us, and we look forward to addressing your question, your particular issue on this edition. We have open lines so that you can do that at 844-32-BASIC. 844-322-2742 is the full number, but if you would like to do the it's not exactly an acronym, but it's 844-32-BASIC, and we'd love to hear from you right now.
Yes, indeed. So if you have a question or an issue that you would like to discuss, something about your life that you need hope, you need encouragement, you need help, we would love to hear from you, point you into the Word of God, point you to this Jesus who is the image of the invisible God who holds all things together.
Yeah. Well, again, the lines are wide open, friends, and so we'd love to hear from you. A question from an anonymous writer. A question about a person who is spiritually dead, Bob, but who wants to share with others, which is kind of strange, but who wants to share with others the new birth and life of Christ so that people would be saved. And the question is, if that person sharing is spiritually dead themselves, do you think that they would really want to do that?
Well, there's all sorts of motivations as far as sharing Christ is concerned. John Wesley, for example, the great evangelist that probably gave over 10,000 sermons. He rode his horse. He went from place to place, and, and he was passionate about the gospel. But before he experienced new birth, he actually traveled from England to the United States or to America, the new land.
The new world,
And he came over to be a missionary to the Native American Native Americans that were here. And he did so in hopes of saving his own soul. He knew something was desperately wrong. He knew that he needed fixed. He knew he needed something outside himself. He didn't know what. And so he just sat back and he thought, if I could go and reach them and help them, maybe in doing so, that could save my soul.
Yeah.
There's lots and lots and lots of people that go into ministry because of their own problems. They're looking for answers, and they think going into ministry is going to be that answer for them. And many of them, in going to ministry, they find out that's not the answer, and it forces them to turn to the gospel message that they've been preaching. There are so many stories of people who have given invitation, gospel invitations, and their hearts were so pricked by the message that they received Christ themselves. So can a lost person give a gospel invitation? Absolutely. They can articulate the message. The power isn't with them to save people. The power is Christ. He's the one that saves. Paul talks about that in his letter to the Philippians. He talks about motivation. You know, what's the motivation behind these folks? He says in verse 15 of Philippians 1, it is true that some preach Christ out of envy and rivalry, but others out of goodwill. There's all kinds of motivations, and there are many lost people who share Christ.
Right, yeah.
And the reason probably is so that someday their own soul can be saved. Yeah. That's what they're looking for.
Interesting question. And so we appreciate hearing from our listeners who have questions. And if you have a question and can't get to the phone while we're actually on the air, we encourage you to drop us an email. We'll be glad to address it on a later edition of Basic Gospel. Right now, plenty of open lines. As a matter of fact, 844-32-BASIC is yours if you call now. And as I've said so many times, it's why we're on the air, so that you can pose your question or your particular issue, and we can discuss it fully and perhaps lead you to a better understanding of the question and to an understanding of the issue that you're facing and how you can handle it, or better than that, how the Lord Jesus by His Spirit can handle it.
Yes,
that's
indeed
the best way to do it. So anyway, 844-32-BASIC, that's the number, and we await your calls right now. In the meantime, Bob, a question from Terry. His question is about the Hebrew Roots Movement. I don't know if you were familiar with that at all. I actually looked it up, and I will give you the definition, but he says, have you ever talked to anyone with questions about the Hebrew Roots Movement? He says, I bump into them often, and they make me crazy. Basically, the Hebrew Roots Movement, the premise of it is the belief that the church has veered far from the true teachings and Hebrew concepts of the Bible. The movement maintains that Christianity has been indoctrinated with the culture and beliefs of Greek and Roman philosophy, and that ultimately biblical Christianity taught in the churches today has been corrupted with a pagan imitation of the New Testament Gospels. That's the basis of the Hebrew Roots Movement.
Well, it's an interesting question. Has the church been influenced by culture, the culture of the day? Yes, it has been influenced by the culture of the day. Much of what happens in a typical church service was taken from other practices, you know, secular practices or pagan practices. So there's a lot about the traditions of the church, the things that we do that reflect a lot that's out there in the world. There's a lot about our thinking that reflects what's in the world. We sometimes look at Scripture through Western culture. And when we have that filter on, when we have those glasses on, what comes back to us has that stamp on it, so to speak. Yeah. And so, yes, we've lost a little bit of the purity of the gospel. The Hebrew language, for example, was a very picturesque language. It really conveyed truth in pictures. It was wonderful, and it is wonderful. Greek language is a little bit different, and of course English is a little bit different than that. So we lose some of that in translation, of course. But yes, the church is influenced by culture. And sometimes we try to mimic the culture rather than standing tall in the middle of it and being different. And I think much of that is because we've lost our backbone. We've lost our courage to be different in this world. We want to blend in. We want to kind of look the same. And sometimes we try to make the gospel more palatable, more relevant. And in doing so, we take the teeth out of it, so to speak. Yeah. We rob it of its power, just in hopes that somebody's going to like us and like what we're saying. I think it's time to really get back to the basic gospel message, the death, the burial, the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The Christmas story is about Jesus. Behold, today in the city of David, a Savior is born, Christ the Lord. It's all about Jesus. We keep adding layers and layers and layers of things to Jesus. And when real freedom happens, when real change and transformation happens, when real revival happens in the world, and this has been true throughout church history, is when all of those layers get cut off. It's like an onion. When you peel all those layers off and finally get to the core, Jesus Christ himself, that's when change occurs. Yeah. That's when transformation occurs, not only individually, but within churches, within communities, within societies. So we have to stand true to the message of Jesus Christ. It's not about our traditions. It's not about our way of doing things. It's about Jesus and what he accomplished for us through his death, burial, and resurrection. Yeah. I think that's why we exist as a ministry, to call people back to that simple, pure, basic gospel message.
Yeah.
It's what people are dying for. And when they hear it, their hearts resonate. There's something about Jesus that transcends everything else. I mean, it's amazing. Even in the secular world, you and I love The Voice.
Yep,
we love that show. We talk about it every, you know, Tuesday and Wednesday. You know, what did you think about this guy's performance? And the winner this year, Gary Wayne, I think was his
name. Oh, you
Gary
stopped
Wayne
me.
Boyd was his name, a country singer, and one of his performances at the end of the competition, near the end, that was really a standout moment, was his rendition of the old hymn, The Old Rugged Cross.
Right, yeah.
It was powerful.
Yeah.
And folks commented on Facebook and Twitter and all of those things. Why? Because there's something about Jesus and what he accomplished through his death, burial, and resurrection. And when it stands out and pierces through all the confusion and clutter, man, it reaches the heart and just melts it in such a powerful, powerful way. So do we need to return back to our roots? Yes. Is it Hebrew roots? No, it's Jesus roots.
That's right. Yeah.
He is the true vine.
Yeah.
We're branches. All of life is sourced by Him. His life flows through us and produces fruit. So it's all about Jesus. We need to get back to Him.
Terry, thank you for your question and provoking a good discussion on this particular issue. Bob, as I've said many, many times, we're on the air only because, live on the air only because to give the operator, not the operator, but our listeners, the opportunity to be on the air with us and pose their question. And, you know, we're basically on from coast to coast, San Francisco, Sacramento, Eugene, Boise, Denver, Waco, Corpus Christi, Louisville, Washington, New York, and on and on and on. And I know we have there's no telling how many listeners there are listening to this program right now. But, you know, I think we've worked ourselves out of a job. I really do, because nobody has a question right now. So I think maybe we should just go ahead and take one day and record all the programs and put them on pre-recorded and just be done with it. What do you think?
No, we're not going to do that. We're going to keep offering this out there, and we're gonna get calls in, and the number to call is 844-322-2742. If you have a question that you would like to pose on today's broadcast, we would love to hear from you. As we wind down, Bob, a reminder to all of our listeners that December is a very important month.
That's where I was going right
for
there.
Basic Gospel.
Yeah.
As for every other ministry, for us, over 25% of our revenue contributions come in during the month of December. So it's very important, and certainly we're relying on God through His Spirit to move in the hearts of people all around this country, all around the world, to share in this ministry, to invest in this ministry, to get the message out there that can engage people in this discipleship process of hearing, believing, and living the good news of Jesus Christ. We don't need people who can articulate the message only. That's not what God is looking for. He's looking for people who are living the message, putting it into practice, so to speak, taking the good news of Jesus to Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday and Thursday and standing out in culture. Not because of the things they're doing, but because of this life of Christ that is being lived out through them. So we're asking people to invest in this discipleship process, to help support this outreach of radio, of internet, of resources, of conferences, so that people can fully engage in this process, this discipleship process. So we would love for you to share in this, to invest in this by making a gift before December 31st. That's just 2 days away.
Absolutely.
We still have about $150,000 that we need to raise to meet our target to help us move into 2015 on a very positive note, with some momentum to walk through some new doors of opportunity in the new year. So join with us. Help out with a generous gift today to Basic Gospel.
And you'll find the support link when you visit our website, basicgospel.net. That's basicgospel.net. Or you can call and speak with Billy at 844-41-BASIC, 844-41-BASIC. And that's, of course, during Central Time office hours. And we'd love to hear from you today, if at all possible.
Yes, indeed. Well, let's go down to Harlingen, Texas, and talk with Charlie. Hi, Charlie.
Hey, Charlie.
Hey, how you doing?
Doing fantastic. How are you today, my friend?
All right. I'm glad you have this show on the this program on the air.
Well, thank you. Well, Merry Christmas to you and Happy New Year.
Well, same to you. My thing I'd like to hear you talk a little bit about is speaking in tongues. There are some factions in the world of Christianity that think every Christian should be speaking in tongues, and as a manifestation of the indwelling Holy Spirit. And I'd just like to, I'm gonna hang up and let you comment on. Is that okay?
Oh, that's fantastic, Charlie. Thanks for your call today, and thanks for your question. And certainly, that is a question that many people have on their minds. You know, what about the gift of tongues? Should we all have it? Should just a few have it? Is it even, you know, for today? There are many people that tongues was just a gift for the apostles, and that it ended in the when the apostles went away. Mm-hmm. That it doesn't go forward. But I don't think the scripture teaches that. But here's what I think about the gift of tongues. It says there are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. And there are different kinds of working, but the same God works all of them and all men. Now, to each one, the manifestation of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit the message of wisdom, and it lists out the different spiritual gifts, and all these are the work of the one and the same Spirit, and he gives them to each one just as he determines. So not everyone has the gift of tongues. Not everyone has the gift of interpretation. Not everyone has the gift of knowledge. Those are spiritual gifts. He distributes those gifts. The Holy Spirit distributes those gifts as he sees fit for the common good. There are many people that are praying for the gift of tongues for their own benefit, for their own personal edification. And Paul talks about that and mentions it. But he does so in a negative way. He said, you're wanting that for your personal edification, but what the Spirit of God does is for the edification of others, for the common good. Spiritual gifts are given by the Spirit of God for the building up of the body so that the body can carry out its work to the world at large. That's the purpose of spiritual gifts. So what about this gift of tongues? Does everybody get that gift? Absolutely not. I don't have the gift of tongues. You don't have the gift of tongues. And what about this gift of tongues? It's a known language. It's not angelic or gibberish or something that's not understandable. It's an understandable language. If it's not understandable, there's always an interpreter there to make it understandable, to make it known to the hearers. Why? Because if something's being said that's going to be for the common good, those who hear it have to understand it. I think it was used primarily as an evangelistic gift. I think the Apostle Paul, as he went out on all of his missionary journeys, was blessed with the gift of tongues. Why? So that he could proclaim the good news of Jesus, the death, the burial, and the resurrection, so that those who heard it could understand it in their own language.
Yeah.
I think that's what the gift was used for, and I think that's how it would be used today, so that the gospel message can be communicated that could transcend any language barriers.
Yeah.
God's Spirit is able to equip us to do that as he sees fit. Some would say that you need the gift of tongues to prove that you're saved. Well, if that's the case, then I would be highly insecure.
Absolutely.
We don't need that gift to show us that we're saved. We can count on the fact that God has given us his Spirit, and his Spirit communicates with our spirit that we indeed are children of God. We can count on that testimony that God has placed in each and every one of our hearts. We can also count on the fact that Jesus died, was buried, and was raised again. That is the foundation for our security in Christ.
Absolutely.
Well, Charlie, we hope that helps, and thanks for your call today.
Yeah, well, we're just about out of time. And, Bob, I want to reiterate some of the things that you were talking about just a little while ago. And, friends, we are down to the final 3 days, 2 days plus, as a matter of fact, December. And we really need to make that push to get where we need to be even with the world going into January. And the world, we want to get ahead of the world, but we want to be even with the debtors, I guess you could say. As Bob Christopher has mentioned, fully 25% of annual donations arrive in the month of December. And these next couple of days, we really need your help to close the year on solid footing. So please help as much as you can. Please go online to basicgospel.net, or you can call and speak with Billy at 844-41-BASIC. That's 844-41-BASIC during Central Time office hours. And help us if you can with your most generous gift. Again, you'll find the support link in the header at basicgospel.net, or speak with Billy at 844-41-BASIC. A couple of other things. I want to remind you also that there are many valuable resources available to you online. You'll find them in our online store. That URL is store.basicgospel.net. We also invite you to go online to basicgospel.net and join our email list. There are multiple benefits to staying connected with the ministry, and we want to share them with you. So click subscribe in the upper left corner of any page of our website at basicgospel.net. Well, that's it for today, everybody. Hope you'll join us again tomorrow. Until then, for Bob Christopher and everybody at Basic Gospel, we encourage you to be here, and God bless you, and we'll see you tomorrow. Bye-bye.